Revelation 5, verses 6 through 13. Yes, he may start recording because the name of this title is Worship of the Lion. Worship of the Lion. This is John speaking, and he says, "And then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represented the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took it, the scroll, the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words: You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood ransomed people for God from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang, 'Blessings and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And for the living, four living beings saying, Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb." We are in an awesome scene. Worship is going up to God Almighty, and Jesus enters in. John has been bawling his eyes out because he sees the Father holding this title deed or this scroll that is holding on to all the promises, and more so, that he wants to give to mankind. John's crying because there was nobody in heaven that could open the scroll, let alone take it from the hand of the Father. And then one of the elders points out to John, "Here comes the Lion of Judah." The Lion of Judah. And John immediately looked over and he saw a lamb that had been slaughtered. A lamb. Jesus is no longer in the manger. Jesus is not hanging on the cross. Jesus isn't even staying in the tomb. He has risen. He has conquered every enemy of God and mankind. And when he came into that throne room, he came back showing the wounds of war. It was much the same as those who were just called out of the jungles of Vietnam, that something had happened at home and they didn't have a chance to change. And so what you saw them in was their fatigues or their uniforms that they wore to carry on the business of war. And Jesus had just entered in, carrying and wearing the clothing that he wore to carry on this warfare, and he won. He won the victory for us. And this is the reason why we worship him. But I think sometimes we take for granted the victory. Sometimes I think we sit around here and we think that we're owed. And we don't owe him an ounce of praise and worship. Because after all, he's God. He saved me. And here's the Lamb. John sees the Lamb. He sees the marks. He sees the nail holes. He sees the holes in his skull where the crown of thorns was. He sees how his side was ripped open, how his back was beaten to a pulp. He sees this. And there's worship.
going on. Worship going on.
The church has a perspective that is not proper. We still think of Jesus in the manger, when we should see him as the lion, the king of all mankind. He is not coming back as a baby. He is a man who is coming back, and he is going to rule and reign upon this earth. He is going to destroy evil. He is going to discipline wickedness. And he is going to rule in truth, justice, and righteousness. And so are we. So are we. You see, we've got to reverse our thinking. We've got to reverse our perspective of things. Heaven sees a lion, we see a lamb. Heaven sees God Almighty, we see ourselves. Heaven esteems the lowly, the contrite, the brokenhearted. We make fun of them. We ridicule them. We look at our situation as being impossible, and heaven sees it as just another day to perform a miracle. And yet, we're wondering why the lion is not ruling and reigning in our lives. Could it be because our perspective of looking at our situation is so far beneath us that we're actually really ashamed to look into the face of God and declare our need to him? Let alone declare how much he is worthy, how much he has done for us. You see, the world sees Christians as a bunch of hypocrites. And they're making fun of us. I don't really care they make fun of me. I really don't. Because, you see, I've read the book. I know we rule and reign. I know we have the victory. And I know that Jesus is my King and Lord. Jesus is the answer to every physical and spiritual need that the church has now and ever will have. He is the answer to everything. He is the answer. He died on a cross. His blood was shed for our crimes, yours and mine. He didn't have to do it. He did it because he saw the condition that we're in, and we can't do it for ourselves. And to sit arrogantly and believe that he owes us is to have a wrong perspective. Jesus, be my fireman. Get me out of this fire. We should be praying, Jesus, get me through the fire, not out of it. You see, there's things in your life and in my life that he wants to take off of us. He doesn't want us to escape from them. He wants us to go through them. Why? Because it makes us better. It makes us stronger. It makes us cause our faith in him to see what he's doing to appropriate the victory that he won for us. And you're worthy of it because he said so. And so when we come and we stand in here and we exalt the Lord and we praise him and we clap our hands, we're doing nothing more than what the elder said. Amen. Let it be so is the true translation in the Greek. Let it be so. Amen. Let him receive all power and glory and praise and strength. Let him, because he's the only one that's causing us to escape hell and eternal damnation. And your little games and my little pretenses, doesn't faze him a bit because he will do what he said he will do to make you what he has created you to be. And you can run and you can hide and you can pretend that nothing's wrong, but the fact of the matter is, you're out of order and so am I. And so when I praise him, I'm praising him for the mercy that he has shown to me, that he has not allowed the enemy to take me out. You see, this is real stuff. This is what we're talking about. He was the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins. He came to earth and he lived a life without having a wrong thought, a wrong deed. He never did anything, thought anything bad of anybody. He never said anything wrong or bad about anybody. Can you? I can't. That's why I abuse the gift of repentance. That's why he is my Savior. Because without him, I know that when he comes back, the judge, I don't have a chance. He loves us eternally. He loves us even yet while we were sinners. He died for us. You see, we're so busy accusing everybody else about our problems and their situations, we fail to understand that this is an invisible war. And the weapons of our warfare are powerful and mighty for pulling down everything that the enemy has tried to use against the church of Jesus Christ and to keep people from coming together in Jesus Christ. And we tend to minimize that. You see, everything that Jesus is, we are. Did Jesus heal the sick? Are you part of his body? You can do the same thing. Did Jesus cast out demons? Are you part of his body? You can do this. Because all power, all glory, all authority has been given to him. He's the head. We're the body. We can do these things. You see, you've got to elevate your perspective. If you're satisfied in living in the cesspool of this world, then that's okay. That's you. I'm not satisfied. And for the church, I'm not satisfied. I will be after you like the hounds of heaven to get you to understand that God loves you and is not satisfied that you're satisfied in where you are. He has a call in your life. He has a need for you to grow up and start fulfilling that call. There is an eternal destiny laid upon the church of Jesus Christ, of which we have a destiny in streams, which means that your gifts and talents that he has graced you with needs to be utilized in order to further his kingdom and authority. Jesus had seven horns and seven eyes. The horns represent the power and authority. It was perfect power and authority that he has. He has perfect wisdom. That's what the eyes signify. He has perfect wisdom. There is nothing that he doesn't know. There is nothing that escapes his view. What you do in the dark, he's there. He already knows because he's ahead of you, waiting for you to perpetrate your crime. He's just waiting for you to repent of it and get real. There's nothing that escapes him. There's nothing that he cannot do except violate your will. He will not violate your will. That's the beauty of being a human being. We have a choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And we choose to do the wrong thing every time. And that's the reason he died on the cross for us. He's not dead any longer. He bears the marks of our crimes upon his body. And he wants us to behold him and to understand. And you can see this through Zechariah the prophet, through Zechariah 4, 2 through 10, John 14, 26, John 15, 26, John 16, 7 through 15. All these things speak about Messiah, speak about his sacrifice, speaks about his sacrifice and taking these wounds on for us to elevate us, to get us out of the sewers, to get us out of our depression, to get us out of the situations that we put ourselves in but we blame everybody else for. To elevate us out of understanding that in that temptation there is a way in which he makes an escape for us. Do I do the right thing or do I continue to do the wrong thing? And heaven is going crazy because he has won the victory. He is the Lion of Judah that has defeated every enemy of God while on earth. And he goes and he takes the scroll out of the Father's hand and all heaven is going nuts. It's like in Gladiator, you know, when he went in there, he could have taken the emperor's life, but he turned his back on the dude, you know. And the people were going crazy, you know. Maximus, Maximus, Maximus. In heaven, they're going, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Nope. Maximus was a heathen. Jesus fulfilled the scriptures according to the examples that God had said. He is the perfect sacrificial lamb. And we see this through Exodus 12, verses 3 through 5, or 1 Peter 2, 5 through 9. And it shows how the example was that when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill an animal. He clothed them in the fur, but it was the blood that atoned for their sin. He later then goes on and kills an animal that he tells us that the blood sacrifice for Israel, that the person who has sinned has to bring a sacrifice. That sacrifice has to be offered for the individual. Jesus in Isaiah 63 becomes a point of contention because he now is the sin offering for a nation. And the Passover lamb was a sacrifice for the family. All these are in Scripture. And all these Jesus fulfilled in one fell swoop when he died on the cross for us. And when he rose from the dead, he now stands up there and he's holding on to this title deed with the victory that he is soon going to break these seals open to read the promises of everything that God has given to his people. And people are going nuts. Heaven is singing forth the 24 elders and the four living creatures. They're singing a new song. They're singing the song. We sang part of that song today. That he's worthy. That he is worthy. And when he turns and he's standing in the midst of them, the 24 elders and the four living creatures fall down prostrate in total submission to his power and his authority. He is God. They are submitted to his divinity. And you see the Trinity up there. You see the Father. You see Jesus. And you see the seven spirits or the Holy Spirit there in heaven at this great and awesome time. And we, like spoiled, ignorant children, don't understand why we come together to celebrate and declare the marvelous works of God. That's what worship is about. It isn't about us, you know, coming to give our tithes or greet or socialize at all. You got 6 days of the rest of the week and party after dinner to do that. When you come here, your attention needs to be on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not if I'm going to hook up with somebody after service. I'm just telling you the way I see it. It may ruffle your feathers. Tough. I'm going to tell you the way it is because I'm more afraid of God than I am of you. And that's the way you need to be. You see, you don't understand who He is. And until you get a vision of who He is, you will be stuck where you are. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Everything is subservient to Him. He is the big guy in the skies, I like to hear some people say. The man upstairs, yeah. And I say, who be that? And they can't tell me who that is. Who be that? Who be that man upstairs? Is he paying rent? He paid it in full. He could have smote us out of existence. They're talking about 100,000 people dying out of that earthquake. He could cause the same thing to happen right here. And we are indifferent to the plight of those people. Because after all, we're stuck in our own little problem, you know. Jesus, help me. Will you help me, Jesus? Thank you. It isn't. But isn't that instead of, what do you want me to do, Jesus? What do you want me to do? We're so busy playing the Jimmy game that we don't want to hear what Jesus has got to say. And then when things don't work out in our lives, we come here and we get all bent out of shape. We don't want to praise Him. We don't want to talk to Him. We don't want to do anything because until you perform for me, Jesus, I'm not going to give you what you want. Well, my Bible tells me that all of us are going to be in heaven. And when He walks in, every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess. Even those who don't want to do it now. And you will praise Him. And then you will be gone forever. Only those who are His will be there forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship. Some of us are still preoccupied and pretending. So you can't be His family. But He has provided this for you to become His family. Every kindred, every tongue. He provides a common language for us. Did you ever notice that there, when Christians talk, that there's a different kind of language? Kind of like profanity is not there. Well, whose language do you speak? Do you speak heaven's language? Or do you speak earthly language? Because, see, that tells you what family you're part of. But He's provided this. Every people means He provided a common race. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're white. It doesn't matter if you're yellow or green. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Greek or Italian or Irish. It doesn't matter. You've now become one in Him. Believe it or not, your race is not even Christian. Your race is heaven. You are heaven's citizens. This is what He's provided for you and for me. To become citizens of heaven. And His purpose for doing this was to establish one kingdom. His. That makes Him King of kings and Lord of lords of everything in here. Everything that I own, everything that I think about, everything that I am is His. He can do with me what He wants. And He's trying to get us out of our diapers and start growing up. You see, the church doesn't want to hear this. The church doesn't want to do this. The church doesn't want... That's what spoiled little brats do. And because of His great grace and great mercy upon us, He has been greatly filled with patience on us. He loves us to get us out of this morass that we put ourselves in. He has a better plan for us. We need to stop thinking that, well, I got saved and when Jesus comes, I'm out of here. You need to jettison that thought. You need to get rid of it. You're here for a purpose. You need to find out what your job is and go do your job. Well, I'm in school. Okay. You're in school. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Jesus doesn't want it. Are you part of His body? Are you part of the tongue, people, nation, kingdom? You know, He created us to be under one government, His kingdom. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. I got all this going on. You need to learn to get rid of all that stuff. You need to start lining up with what the King says for you to do. There's people who are going to hell every day because you won't open your mouth and tell them about the love of God. Well, I didn't go to Bible college. Neither did I. I can't speak real well. Neither do I. I'm afraid of people. I am not. Part of my testimony is I was a hard-nosed, hard-drinking, hard-druggy Irish person. And now I'm a pussycat. Teddy bear? No, I can't. Yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's okay. That was BC. Inside joke. I'll share with you later. The point of the fact of is, if you learn anything, that this is practice for what's going to happen up there. You're not going to sit up there and play harps and be on a cloud and have the angels serve you. It's not happening. That's a lie from Hollywood and the cartoons. I know. I've watched the cartoons. We have a job to do, church. That job is to grow up. To tell the world about what our great God has done. He came to earth. He put on flesh. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He paid for our crimes. He rose from the dead. And now He says, come up here with me. He wants everybody to be forgiven. He died for the world. Isn't that what John 3:16 is? That He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That those who believe should not perish, but have eternal life. Somehow we've forgotten this. Somehow we get saved and we forget. You got saved to get somebody else saved. And then somebody after that. And somebody after that. Believe it or not, you are the life preserver for someone. And that person that you're probably supposed to reach out to is probably the most annoying person in your life. Even your brother or sister. It's God's way of trying to get you to understand that, you know what? You matter so much to Him that He died. The least that you and I can do is do what He's told us to do. And that's go. Go and tell them. Go and bring them. Compel them to come. Because from here on in, when we go into Revelations, all hell is going to break out on man. And they're not going to come to Him. They're going to curse Him. But they don't even see that this drama was created because they refused Him. Let us not refuse the Lord. Let us do what He has said to do. Let us fill His house with praise and honor, and He will fill the pews with people who acknowledge that as we go and share our lives with them. See, there's nothing more important than in being in right relationship to God, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to be in right relationship with each other, to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are our two rules, and somehow we've kind of like pick and choose who we're going to love. We're going to pick and choose when we're going to worship God and adore Him. The only option you had was when you said, yes, Lord. You have no other options except to yield to Him. If not, then the consequences of your actions and behavior, Daddy will spank you. And let me tell you, you don't want to go that route. And it's not time out. Amen? Let us go. Let us tell them. Let us be bold as the Lion of Judah. Let us be bold and declare to them that need to hear Jesus. As crazy as it may seem, there is power in your testimony that God wants to release. And the more bold you become, the more people look at you. The more radical your life changes, the more they're going to look at you. But if you're just like them, they don't even notice you. And we are not like them. Amen? Father, I thank You that the Lion has gone and won the victory for us. I thank You, God, and I hope that my exhortation for Your church is to understand how dire it is. Not for us, because this is as close as to hell we're going to get. But how dire it is for those, because this will be as close to heaven as they'll ever know. God, let us plead with them to come to their senses and yield their lives to You, God. It doesn't matter what they believe. What matters is they come to You, God. You are their belief system. They can believe in God all they want, and the demons believe in that. But God, unless they surrender themselves to Jesus Christ, there is no hope. There is no other way that man could be saved except through faith in Jesus Christ. You have told us this, Lord. God, in this hour, God, I pray that Your church would rise up and take her place and shine like a city on a hill, Lord, to draw those out of darkness to Your marvelous light. That their lives would reflect You, Lord. That our praise and adoration of You would be genuine, God. Because we know our God, but better yet, we are known by Him. Lord, come and establish Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.